take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7. 2 Kings, chapter 7. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Kings, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And then we'll read one other verse later in the chapter. 2 Kings, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God, and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there went four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. They said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say, We will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there." Now skip down to verse number 19, and we'll finish with this verse together in unison. Verse number 19, ready? "And that Lord answered the man of God, and said, Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." And let's pray. Father, thank you for being our God. And Lord, on Father's Day, may we remember that you are our Father. Thank you. Thank you for the example, for the unconditional love. Lord, even when we mess up, you're there. Thank you that not if we mess up, but when. Now, Father, I pray that you'd be with our preacher. Fill him with your power in a very special and unique way. Lord, we stand before you needy. We stand before you in need of more than we even can foresee, but you know what we need before it comes. Father, give the man of God your power. Give him your presence. And may the Holy Spirit work in our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning I have a sermon that I've entitled, When Are the Windows of Heaven Open? When are the windows of heaven open? We read earlier together here from 2 Kings chapter 7 the story of when the Syrians had formed a siege about Samaria. In other words, it was a blockade. No food could get into the city. The enemy were on the outside. No wagon train could move in. There was no supplies going into the city of Syria. I won't tell the whole story, but it was so bad. One illustration of what they were eating in the city is they were actually selling the dung of doves, and it was being used for nutrition. But that's not the worst thing that was happening. I can tell you a couple other things that they were eating to keep themselves alive, and it was very, very nasty. But they couldn't get out. The enemy had them surrounded. There was no way out. Let me tell you all something. I've been preaching for over 30 years, and I have discovered when it seems like there's no way out, there's a way out. When it seems as if the devil has you down and you are surrounded, when God is involved, the devil can never keep you down and you can never be surrounded to the point that God cannot give you a victory. But in this story, the Syrians had formed this siege about Syria. Suddenly, the man of God, Elisha, predicts a sudden supply of food. They say, he says, look, in less than 24 hours, you're going to be able to buy cornmeal and everything that you need to eat. And people say, wait a minute, we are starving to death here. And someone to whom he was speaking said this. They said in verse number 2, God would have to open the windows of heaven to make it happen that we would have all the food that we needed in the next 24 hours. Now there was a group of lepers that were in that city starving to death. Four of them. These four lepers got together and they said, you know something? We're going to starve to death. We don't have any food. Why don't we go out and just walk into the Syrian camp that has besieged our city and look, they may kill us, but what do we care? We're going to die from starvation. They may have mercy on us. They may feed us. And these four men had said, look, we're sick anyway. We're probably going to die from our leprosy, or we will die if we approach our enemy that's camped outside our city. Maybe we'll get a meal before they kill us. They said, well, let's do it. The Bible says that these four lepers snuck out of the city and headed out to the camp of the enemy. When they arrived there, there was food, water, everything you could dream of, but not one of the enemy's army. They looked and they said, look at all this food. Look at all this water. Oh my, this is incredible. This is incredible. They were going over. They were eating. They were drinking. You say, what in the world happened? This is what happened. The man of God, Elisha, had predicted that within 24 hours there'd be enough food. They wouldn't know what to do with it all. That should have been enough. If God's word had come unto Elisha, they should have just believed what God said. But they didn't believe what God said. Only four lepers had the courage to step out and go see what was going on over in the enemy camp. And they figured, what do we have to lose? The night before these lepers went in, God had said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get rid of the enemy. And so God somehow, I believe, had opened the windows of heaven. And the Bible says that the sound of chariots had come upon that Syrian army. And it made them believe that there was another big army coming upon them. Here it is, it's in the night, and all of a sudden they hear these chariots, and they hear an army. I don't know exactly how it happened, but all of the enemy, the Syrians, all the enemy, they're just going, whoa, can you hear that? Wow, what's happening here? But somebody's coming to attack us. The people that we have on the inside must have got a messenger out. And they've called upon armies from some distant land, and they're coming to get us. There were no human armies. God had just opened the windows of heaven and allowed the sound of the mighty army of God to fall upon the ears of the enemy. They all said, that's it, we're out of here. They didn't take their food. They didn't take their clothes. They didn't take their water. They said, we better escape right now if we're going to be alive. That had happened in the night, but the people inside the city that were starving to death had no idea it had happened. Elisha had said, get ready. You're going to have enough food in less than 24 hours. Nobody believed it. Four lepers now say, well, let's go to the enemy. They may kill us, but we're going to starve anyway. So these four lepers are out there all by themselves, scared to death, walking into the camp of the enemy. They get there, and there's not one enemy there. And there is food, and there is water, and there is clothing, and everything they need. They did not realize that the enemy had exited and ran away out of fear. What a story. The lepers, real quickly, debated among themselves, said, you know, should we tell anybody else? But all the people received food. You read that at the beginning of the chapter, 2 Kings chapter 7. You see the beginning of the story. Then when you read with Brother Bush verse number 19, what is happening there, it is being reiterated where Elisha says, basically, told you so. I told you you were going to have so much food you wouldn't know what to do with it all. This is one of those times, you know, if you understand in 2 Kings 7, 2, it uses the words, it says, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. Then God allows Elisha to repeat it in 2 Kings 7, 19. It said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be. And he said, behold, we did get to see it with our own eyes. What had happened is God had opened the windows of heaven.
Right.
Never really gave a lot of thought to it. Really, we sing songs about the windows of heaven. We read about the windows of heaven. Well, I'm not sure we really believe it, but evidently there are windows in heaven. There are windows in heaven. I ask myself, God, when are the windows of heaven opened up? We see they were opened up here in this story of Elisha. You know, God does many wonderful works and allows us to actually see his accomplishments. There are many things that God will accomplish and you and I get to see it. God accomplishes many things that the human eye, though, cannot see. Many of the invisible things of heaven have not been seen by me or by you. I think, though, however, there are examples in the Bible of times when people were allowed to see what would usually be unseen. I think there are times when God pulls back the heavenly curtains and lets someone see and get a little glimpse of heaven's windows, looking in that window maybe. God has actually allowed certain human beings and certain groups of people throughout the history of mankind to see that which is normally invisible. Matter of fact, it even says in Hebrews 11:27, it talks about us seeing him who is invisible. There are times when we get a glimpse of Jesus in one form or another. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11, it says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 11, it says, the windows of heaven were open. In Genesis chapter 8, verse number 2, it says, and the windows of heaven were stopped. In other words, they were closed. I got to thinking about times when somehow God chose to give man a little glimpse of something heavenly. Something where God opened up the windows of heaven and something slipped out came unto man. For instance, I think an example of the windows of heaven being open could be the story of Virgin Mary. You see, she lived a very simple life in Nazareth. She was clean, she was pure, she was virgin. And one day, God suddenly opens one of heaven's windows and an angel appears to Mary. That angel has a conversation with her, and that angel tells her that she will bring forth the Christ child. Suddenly, we see that something, an angel, has slipped through one of heaven's windows and appears to Mary to tell her of the coming Christ child. The unseen has suddenly been seen. The Bible says in Luke 1:28, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You know, what an amazing event. Mary got a glimpse of something that we wouldn't normally see. God opened spiritually a heavenly window and said, Mary, I'm going to show you something special. Yes. See, I think there are examples in the Bible where somebody got to glance through a window and see what's going on in heaven and see maybe one of God's creatures from heaven that influences man. I take, for instance, the Apostle Paul. Paul was walking down a road called the Damascus Road. He was unsaved. This man named Paul, originally his name was Saul. He persecuted Christians. Now, Saul is walking down the Damascus Road, and the Bible says that suddenly a bright light opens, and I believe God let some light from heaven down, probably in the person of Jesus Christ. And that light, it strikes Paul, and he's virtually blind. And Jesus, I think, says, Paul, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The whole story is that light blinds him. That's God showing up on the scene. You see, a heavenly window had been opened for a moment. Something had escaped to come down to meet this man by the name of Saul on the Damascus Road. And Saul gets saved and they change his name to Paul. You see, the invisible had become visible for a moment. The Bible says in Acts 9, verse 4 and 5 of that story, it says, speaking of Saul, it says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Here we see it. Here we see the invisible being made visible. There's a story again when God pops open a window of heaven so somebody can see something a little bit unique. A man by the name of Zacharias. Zacharias had been praying folks, I'm going to ask it. We all sat still. We started the sermon. There have probably been 7 or 8 people up walking around. I'm not mad at anybody. I know there are emergencies that need to be attended to, but paying attention to the preaching of the Word of God is an emergency too. So unless it's a dire emergency, please sit very, very still so you don't hinder someone else from hearing something that they desperately need. Let me go back to Zacharias. Zacharias is a man. He had prayed that his wife Elizabeth would have a son. And God one day in Luke chapter 1 tells us that God suddenly opens up one of heaven's windows. An angel sneaks out. And God gives Zacharias straight from heaven a message concerning his soon-to-be born son. That soon-to-be born son's name is John. And that angel says, Mary, and that soon-to-be-born son, his name is John the Baptist. And the angel says to Zacharias and Elizabeth, he's going to be a powerful man. He's going to influence many. And we get to see God lifting a window of heaven and a messenger slipping out and coming down to earth. You see, the unseen is suddenly seen. There's a story of a man by the name of Jacob in the Old Testament. Jacob leaves home because his brother is angry and they're not getting along. It's a long story, but Jacob, he's traveling down a very lonely road and he stops on the roadside and he ends up making a pillow out of a stone. That's how cold and how forsaken this man by the name of Jacob was. The Bible tells us that somehow God again chooses that rare occasion where the windows of heaven are open and something slips out to come down and show man the reality of heaven. And Jacob is asleep using a stone as a pillow. And in the night, an angel of God comes to Jacob. And Jacob gets to see, he sees this sight of a ladder that is extended from heaven down to earth. And angels ascending and descending from that ladder back and forth to earth. Those angels are there to do the work of God. What happened? God said, I'm going to open a window of heaven. I'm going to let Jacob glance in. Jacob's going to see something that's unique. Jacob's going to see that rare opportunity that heaven is revealed to us. We see here that Mary got a glimpse of heaven and Saul, who became Paul, got that glimpse of heaven through a window of heaven, and Zacharias and Jacob. We know the story of the great captain named Joshua. Joshua faces a battle over the city of Jericho. That historically famous battle, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. And tomorrow they will go to battle. Tomorrow their lives are on the line. Tomorrow they're outnumbered. Tomorrow Joshua must lead the armies of the children of Israel into battle at this city called Jericho. God's battle instructions to Joshua were a bit odd. God had told Joshua, you're going to win this battle, but it's not going to be what you think. You're going to be marching around the city, and the walls are just going to crumble and tumble down. And I'm sure Joshua was a bit nervous the night before, thinking, God, it'd be okay. Had you given me a bazooka, it'd have been okay. If you gave me a whole bunch of tanks, it'd have been okay. If you gave me a machine gun, but God, the way you're wanting to win this battle, it's got to be a bit shaky. Tomorrow I lead all these people in the battle. Oh, God, how can I fight this battle in this way? He's in his tent the night before the battle, and the Bible says God pulled back a curtain from heaven's window, and Jesus appears possibly and assures Joshua of his victory on the morrow and says, I will go with you. You see, again, the window of heaven has been opened. Do you remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were hungry? God said, don't worry, I'll feed you. They said, but there's no food around. How in the world are you going to feed us? And the Bible says that God through the night would slip open the window of heaven and sprinkle manna on the ground. Where do you think that manna came from? It was heavenly manna. I don't know. You might say, well, I think God sent an angel down and placed it on the ground. That's possible. Well, I don't see any reason. If God can toss snow out of the heavens and rain out of the heavens and everything else, why couldn't God just open the windows of heaven and sprinkle it with that manna so those people could eat it in the morning? You see, the Bible tells us there are windows in heaven. It is a rare occasion, but throughout the Word of God, we see the times when the window was opened and we got to glance in for a moment and something escaped out, something eternal landed close enough where our eyes could get a glance at it. Normally, God's people don't see into heaven. Normally, we don't get to see angels. Normally, we don't get to see the unseen. Normally, the invisible does not become visible, but on that rare occasion, evidently, according to the Bible, God opens the windows of heaven. I wish that this would give a new meaning to that song that we sing. The windows of heaven are open. The blessing are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy, and that's why I'm happy, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Let me tell you something. There are windows in heaven. And every once in a while, God says, I'm going to pop a window open. Somebody needs something special. And man gets a chance to get a glimpse of the great God of the universe. You see, windows let the sun shine in. Windows let us see what we could not normally see. Windows can allow a refreshing breeze into the soul of man. Windows can help us to hear a little more clearly and see a little more clearly. Hey, there's nothing like smelling bread cooking. But you know, if that bread's stuck in the kitchen where the window's closed, you can't smell it as well. You pop open a window and let that old bread and that aroma of bread come out that window. Oh, is that overpowering? Well, let me tell you something. Our Heavenly Father has bread in heaven, and every once in a while He says, I've got to get the scent of bread down to my people. I've got to get them manna. I've got to meet their need. I've got to let them see that I'm there. Windows increase the opportunities of life, and somehow God, every once in a while, opens windows in heaven. I think this morning I could teach you of some of the windows that God opens in heaven, and for what reasons and under what circumstances. For instance, let me say, first of all, the windows of heaven are open at the death of God's children. In Acts chapter 7, verse number 56, it says, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Listen to those words. Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I don't know what opened in the heavens, but I do know this. There are windows in heaven. And this may be a time when God said, you know what, I'm going to pop open a window of heaven and somebody's going to look in. You say, who was this? A man by the name of Stephen. Stephen had taken a moment and he loved God, and Stephen had testified without apology to a group of people about Jesus Christ. It made the crowd mad, and they picked up stones and they planned on killing him, and they're stoning him to death. Here's a man that loved Jesus. Here's a man that had stood for Jesus. Here's a man that had testified of Jesus. The people around it didn't like it. They picked up stones and they began to bash his head in with these stones. And as they're stoning him to death, the Bible says Stephen looked up toward the sky. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Oh my. The unseen has now been seen. Stephen is dying, and God opens a window of heaven. You say, why? Because God wanted to be there to steady his child when he passed over. God wanted to be there to calm him at the moment of death. God wanted to be there so that when Stephen passed into glory, that Stephen didn't have to worry. God was saying, Stephen, don't you worry. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith, you can see it afar. But wait a minute, Stephen. I'm going to make your faith into
sight for a moment. And you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Owens, everywhere in the Bible it talks about when Jesus went to heaven, he went to sit at the right hand of the Father. And here the Bible says he sees Jesus standing. You're right. Jesus is standing because a child is coming home. And Jesus stands up to welcome him home. Says, come on, Stephen. I've got wonderful things in store for you. One day, my friend, you and I will face death. But I believe the windows of heaven will be open for you when it's time for you to pass over. There'll be a calm that God can bring to you if you're a born-again Christian. The worst we have to go through is going to happen down here. It's all better from here on out. It is comforting to know that when people pass over, Jesus will open that window of heaven. And at least in Stephen's case, and maybe in the cases of everybody else, and we don't know it, but he was there to personally greet him and bring him on into heaven. I've told this story before. I want to tell it again this morning. One of our dear members, Jeannie Zittle. Jeannie had had cancer and fought it, and finally it became a reality that it would take her life. I'll never forget, they called and said, Preacher, you and Mrs. Owens, if you'll come up and spend some time with Jeannie before she passes. We went up. She asked me, she said, Preacher, tell me about heaven again. I told her about the streets of gold. I told her about the gates of pearl. I told her that the lineup of people there that she'll meet is just incredible. I told her that there'll be no more pain, and there'll be no more treatments, and there'll be no tossing and turning in the night. And I told her that Jesus would be there. And that's the night that I said to her, I said, Jeannie, the truth is that they say you probably won't make it through the night. And she said, Preacher, I'm ready. I'm ready. I said, do me a favor, when you get to heaven, would you please tell Jesus that I love him? And would you ask him to keep on blessing our church? She said, I will. I will. We got in our car. We drove away. We must have been 45 minutes up the road. Her husband called and said, Preacher, my wife's talking to Jesus for you right now. Folks, let me tell you something. Heaven is a real place. Your loved ones that have passed on, they're there. But let me tell you, when they passed over, I believe somebody popped open a window and Jesus said, come on. Come on. I'm here for you. Come on. It's real. You're nothing to be afraid of. See, God opens a window of heaven and there he has a welcoming committee to say to us, everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. Took a trip down to Panama some years ago. When we were flying from Panama City down to the city of David, we got into storms. We were flying in an old-fashioned prop plane. I'm talking about the old-fashioned. What I mean is there was a press board door in between the passengers and the pilots. Had a little clip on it, like a hook lock. They're all over the inside of this plane, you see top rivet. That's how old the plane was. It was a prop plane. I'm telling you, there were storms everywhere. We went out to get on the plane and they canceled it. They had tried to walk passengers from where we were inside the terminal out to the plane. And the wind and the storm was so bad, it ripped the umbrellas out of the hands of the attendants. And there were umbrellas, I mean by the dozens, just blowing all over the airport. You have to understand, Panama City's airport's not real impressive. One little holding area looked like a cell block at a prison. We're all sitting in there. And they came on and said, look, we think there's a break in between the two storms. There's a window of opportunity. We've got to board now. And I'm thinking, window of opportunity. We got up, and I mean, it shook us and blew us. We landed, I think, 5 times at the city of David. We came down. They took off again. We came down. They took off again. We came down. Finally, they put us on the ground. Everybody was cheering. They said, this is fantastic. We are landing at night. It was during a storm. Everybody was cheering, and the pilot came on and said, that went pretty well. This is the first time anybody's ever landed at night at this airport. I I am not a guinea pig. Mrs. Owens was with me, but she was out of it. She took Dramamine, two of them. She was dancing in the aisle, man. Me? I was not happy when I found out the very first time a night landing in between two storms with me on the plane. But I tell you something. It was scary. We didn't know anybody. Everybody on the plane didn't speak our language. Everybody spoke terror, but nobody spoke our language. But at the airport terminal when we arrived, I could see a window where we would disboard, and standing there was Brother Willis, our missionary. I looked over and I thought, I'm so glad to see a face that I know. And let me tell you something, every once in a while, during the storm, I glance up to the heavenlies and I see a window and I think it's so good to see a face that I know. Let me tell you something, folks. When it's time to pass over, somebody's going to be waiting on us on the other side. Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, notice it says, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Hey, when you're going through that tough time, possibly death, let me tell you something. There's a window in heaven. Just take a look. Somebody's waiting on you there. I see here that in the story of Stephen and Stephen's death, that God opened the window of heaven to greet Stephen at the time of his death. Secondly, I think there's a window of heaven that might be open. Oh, you won't like this one. When you tithe, you say, how could you stick that in here at this sentimental moment? Hey, the offerings are sentimental to me, brother. Listen to this verse. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Listen to it on purpose. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Huh? God mentions the windows of heaven again. And he mentions that they may be opened in result of our obedience to tithing to our God. As a young man, I went to work at an Ace Hardware in my town. I was a stock boy. I don't know, I was 14, 15 years of age. I'd had a paper out before, but I was paid in cash when that happened, and we're talking about a long, long time ago, 8 or 9 years or so. But boy, when I got this job at Ace Hardware, I was going to get a paycheck printed from the bank. That was big stuff. I'll never forget I got that paycheck. I think I was getting paid something like $3 and some odd cents an hour. $3.35 an hour, I think it is. And I'd put a certain number of hours in, and I got that check, and it was for I should have been getting $27. And then I seen I wasn't getting my $27, and I thought, somebody has stolen from my paycheck. Don't worry. It was a relative of mine, Uncle Sam. The check wasn't what I thought it would be, and then it occurred to me, after Uncle Sam got his, there I was, and I thought, you know what, I'm supposed to give some more of this away. And my $27 check, I gave my $2.70 to God. They have been tithing ever since. I have no regret or remorse about giving to my God. You say, why? Because I know there are windows in heaven that will only be opened if I'm faithful to give him what he's required of me. Did you hear about the little boy whose mother gave him 2 quarters to take to Sunday school? One for Jesus and one for some ice cream after Sunday school. While he was crossing a bridge on his way to Sunday school, he dropped one of the quarters into the river. He looked up and he said, oops, Jesus, there goes your quarter. Some of you do it that way too, don't you? If you tithe, God can and will open the windows of heaven. You know, you better give God what he wants if you want him to give you what you want. You know, if there were a thief prowling around in your subdivision, would you leave your windows standing wide open? You say, why, no, I would not do that. Then why should God leave the windows of heaven open to you if you're stealing something of his? God has opened the windows of heaven to me over and over again. I really believe that God meets my needs because I have obeyed him in regard to the tithe. Some here will never experience the showers of blessings that God could provide financially because you don't tithe, and he has no obligation to open heaven's windows and pour out a blessing. It actually says he can pour out a blessing you can't even receive if you'll do right by him financially. I found this little story, you'll like it. There was a knock at the door. It was a small boy about 6 years old. Something of his had found its way into my garage, he said, and he wanted it back. Upon opening the garage door, I noticed two additions, a baseball and a broken window sporting a baseball-sized hole. How do you suppose that ball got in here? I asked the little boy. Taking one look at the ball, one look at the window, and one look back at me, the boy exclaimed, wow, what a good throw. I must have thrown my ball right through that hole. The Bible tells us that when someone passes on, God has been known to open the windows of heaven to receive them. The Bible tells us that when we tithe, get ready, God has the ability to open the windows of heaven and pour out a great blessing to us. I love this next one. When I seen this next one, it delighted me. It is so simple, but yet so delightful. The windows of heaven open up at baptism time. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Here, Jesus gets baptized. God opens the windows of heaven. A voice comes out of that window and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You say, that was for Jesus. I realize that, but I don't have any reason to believe that God couldn't open the windows of heaven and look down and watch what's going on at baptism time. Getting baptized after salvation is a very wonderful thing in the eyes of God. Of course, you say, well, why would that be exciting? Well, that means somebody just got saved. That means, see, you get saved before you get baptized. And if somebody's getting baptized, I can see why somebody in heaven might want to pop open the window and look down and say, hey, there's another child of God. There's somebody else that's been saved and following the Lord in believer's baptism. You say, Brother Owens, can you explain baptism to me? Oh, I don't think so well. I just know that when we stand in that water, it pictures the death. We go under the water and the burial, and we come up out of the water, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is you and I. We have the privilege and opportunity to show people on the outside what we have accepted on the inside in trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Bible teaches it's the very first step of obedience after our salvation. I have no idea why God chose to do it. I just know it's in the Bible. The Bible teaches you get saved, you're supposed to get baptized. You're to get baptized like Jesus did. That's called by immersion. That means going all the way under the water and coming up out of the water. I wonder if they open the windows of heaven so that all the angels can watch baptisms. I mean, baptism says to us, somebody got saved. I wonder if every Sunday morning, about 12:20 around here, I wonder if God says, okay, everybody to the windows, and all the angels and the saints of God run over to the windows of heaven and look down and say, look at that. There's somebody that got saved at Kids Crusade. Look at that. There's somebody that got saved the other night at Teen Soul Winning. Look at that. There's somebody that got saved last Thursday night, and they're getting baptized. I wonder if they all look down and see baptism. I know this. I can prove for a fact that God chose that heaven be opened up at the time of a baptism. It's in the Bible. Churches that have frequent baptismal services may prompt the Lord to open the windows of heaven upon that church. Have you been baptized? Hey, have you been baptized by any other way other than immersion? Sprinkling's not the way God wanted it. You got to get baptized by immersion. We ought to get our converts baptized. You say, why? The windows of heaven are open. I thank bus workers. Let's get our converts baptized. The kids that are saved at Kids Crusade, those that we win in the community, we ought to help them to get into the church and get baptized. It's the first step of obedience after salvation. You say, oh, I'm afraid I'll be embarrassed. I think I've only seen really one embarrassing time in baptism. We were baptizing somebody back here. I'll never forget it. We were baptizing. Brother Tom Tennis was doing the baptizing. He had no idea a lady had a wig on. He took her back. The wig let loose. He brought her back up without her wig. But he was there to help her. He grabbed it out of the water and popped her right back on top of her head. You say, well, I have a wig on. Should I get baptized? We've got a staple gun in the back. We make it easy. There are towels. There are robes and hair dryers. So recently, one of our ladies went through and did a bunch of redecorating in one of our baptismal rooms. Hey, can you picture on the day of Pentecost when there were 3,000 people baptized? Don't you think they had the windows of heaven open that day and everybody was crowded around the windows saying, look at that down there. All those people, they've been saved. They're following the Lord in believers' baptism. You know, some churches baptize only once a year. I'd hate to think that God would only open up the window of heaven once a year so somebody could look down. You know, there are churches that use their baptistry as a storage area for 51 weeks out of the year. They have a little ditty they call a revival, and they try to put somebody in the water just so the baptistry has to be cleaned out. It ought not be that way, especially if the windows of heaven have the potential of being opened at the time of baptism. Some churches never baptize anybody. They've pretty well given up on it. Boy, I can remember Mrs. Owens and I, our very first house that we bought. Can you imagine? I think, honey, we paid $12,000 for our very first house. We got to that house, and they had painted the windows on the inside and the outside and had not opened them. And they had painted them again on the inside and on the outside and had never opened them. They painted them again on the inside and the outside, and they had never opened them. You ever got into a house where they paint the window seals and paint everything, and if you don't open them, they are jammed shut, just as if they were never intended to open in the first place? You know, I'd hate to think that there were churches out there, and I'd hate to think that it ever happened to our church, that God said, I'll open the windows of heaven if you'll put people in the baptistry. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if the window of heaven for this church were sealed shut because we'd painted it shut because we had not obeyed God in getting people saved and baptized? There's another time in the Bible that I see the windows of heaven are open, and that is the time when someone is persecuted for Jesus. I go to the book of Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 was penned by a man by the name of John. Let me tell you something about John. John had taken a stand for Christ, and John had been exiled to an isle or an island called the Isle of Patmos. While he was there, John was actually boiled in oil, but it was on that island that God gave John what is called the book of Revelation. And it is John that is writing here in John chapter 19, verse 11, where it says, and I saw heaven open. Ah, I see heaven open. I don't know what opened. It was either a door or a window because it's got gates and it's got windows. Traditionally, we see God opening the windows of heaven. When did God open a window of heaven so John could take a glance? It was when John had been through a very, very difficult time. He had been persecuted. He had taken a stand for Christ. And God opens the window of heaven, a special bonus for a suffering saint. I believe God does some special things for those that suffer for His cause. If you remember correctly, it was Stephen that was being stoned for preaching the truth when God opened the window of heaven for him. I want you to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were tossed into that burning fiery furnace because they would not bow to a gold image set up by King Nebuchadnezzar. And if you remember, someone had escaped from heaven and said, I'm not going to let you go into that burning fiery furnace. And while they were in the furnace, they said, look, it looks like there's a fourth in the furnace. And the fourth looks like the Son of God in Indeed, it was the Son of God. God had popped open the windows of heaven and said, I'm coming, my child. I'm coming. I won't leave you there to suffer alone. I promise you, when the times that Jesus comes is probably this. Get this, Christian. When you're hurting the most is when Jesus has his hand on that window saying, I'm getting ready to open. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I will not leave you comfortless. It's those difficult times, you see. When you're suffering, glance toward heaven. Glance toward heaven. Hey, Brother Bazin, as you go through these, even yet these difficult days of wondering what's in the future, every once in a while you just need to take a look. David's family, you just glance at heaven every once in a while. Just glance at heaven. You see, when we suffer, God has a way of showing up. He pops open the window of heaven. He said, I'm coming, my child. I'll be there for you. And thank God for the blessed Holy Spirit of God and how that Spirit can come and warm and give courage to our hearts. You see, I see here that John, while exiled on the Isle of Patmos, got a glance into heaven. I thought that this little thing was cute. Last year, someone said, I replaced all the windows in my house with those expensive, double-paned, energy-efficient kind. And yesterday, I received a call from the contractor who installed them. He was complaining that the windows had been installed a whole year ago, and I had not paid for the windows yet. Hello? Now, just because I'm a blonde doesn't mean that I'm automatically stupid. So I told him just exactly what his fast-talking sales guy had told me last year, that in just 1 year, these windows would pay for themselves. I told him it's been a year now. And all there was silence and a click when he hung up. Oh, the windows of heaven. I wonder how many times I've sung the song, the windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight, never gave a thought to what God was really saying. Oh, thank God for the old-time gospel hymn writers that I think they had an idea about what I'm saying. I think the windows of heaven are open when you are lonely, when you feel forsaken. I think of the story of David, and he had ruled on the throne of Israel, and in this story, he is lonely, he is defeated, he is discouraged. His son had disloyally kind of taken over the throne, and David comes to a place called Mahanaim, and David needs some special encouragement from God, and in the night, God pulls back a heavenly curtain and shows David a special army of God camped around him, saying to him, I'm with you, my child. Let me say to every person in this house, when you must walk alone, that's one of those times when he tends to open the windows of heaven so you can see him. Yes. Earlier, Brother Nash led us in a song, No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave you, never to leave you alone. You say, there's no one. Oh, yes. There is someone. You say, where are they at? Glance up at the window. Look at the window, my child. Look at the window. I don't think that the great Captain Joshua ever felt as alone than he did that night when God opened the windows of heaven for him. I think when Stephen was dying, being stoned for the truth, that God opened a window for him. You see, we all die alone. Joshua was alone before the great battle. Stephen was alone as he was being stoned. Did you notice that Daniel went to the lion's den alone? He was there alone. It's no wonder that God in the night had shut the angel's mouth, or shut the lion's mouth. Well, an angel had to get out of heaven to hold the lion's mouth shut. I think God went over and he said, popped open a window and said, my child Daniel's down there in the lion's den. Get to him quick. Shut the lion's mouth. An angel took off out of the window of heaven and flew down to protect Daniel in the lion's den. Paul and Silas, all alone, just the two of them in the Philippian jail. There they were, beaten and sad. And the Bible says at midnight, you could hear them singing. How could they be singing? I think they had a visit from heaven. I think while they were in prison, looked up and saw a window. Prisoner's favorite song is, Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Like a bird out of prison. Now listen to me. The Bible says there are windows in heaven. As we glance through the Scripture,
We've seen people that were affected and had the privilege of seeing them. Stephen at the time of death. The Christian in their obedience to giving the tithe. When somebody gets baptized, the window of heaven could possibly be open. The windows of heaven are open when somebody's persecuted, like John on the Isle of Patmos, or David when he was all alone. I want to recommend something to those of you that are unsaved today. I want you to understand that God can open the windows of heaven, and He can come down and He can save your sin-cursed soul today. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get saved. You say, but I'm down here on earth and God is up there in heaven. God has already opened the windows of heaven today, and the person of the Holy Spirit has flown down to be a part of this service. You see, the windows of heaven are open to those that need to be born again. If you're not saved, trust Christ. Trust Christ. You say, there are times, Brother Owens, I fear death. Listen, if you'll get saved, you begin to understand something about death. I don't know if there are any windows in hell, but I'm going to guess Satan is at the window ready to receive those that have rejected Christ. But in heaven, I believe when we pass, Jesus goes through it with us. But you got to get born again. The Bible teaches, number one, everyone's a sinner. It says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible tells us this. It tells us not only are we sinners, but there is a penalty for our sin. And that is death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. But not only do we understand that we are sinners and there is a penalty for our sin, but that Jesus paid that penalty for us. You say, how did He do it? He died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. He made heaven available to us through that death, burial, and resurrection. And then finally, we must turn to Him and ask Him to forgive us of our sin, come into our heart, and be our Savior. We ask Him to save us, and the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, but shall be. And we get saved, and we have the privilege of going to heaven someday when we die. I thank God that when I die, I know there is a welcoming committee. I don't know about you, but because of my salvation, when death comes, I'm looking for the window. Because yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. But if you are not saved, He will not be with you at the time of death. There'll be someone else waiting for you at the panes of the windows of hell. And I do not say that to scare you. I say that because I love you and I want you to get saved. If you've never been saved, you need to be saved. Christian, let the sermon of the morning encourage you and make sure you do what you can to see the windows of heaven open in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed.